Hello and welcome to 2009 and the T3 podcast, rocking it for another year of technology japes. Coming up on this slight hangover of a show, less than a week to go till CES. We'll have a look at what we're expecting to be shown in a consumer electronic fashion this year. We made it up. Will someone ever make it? We'll be playing with an entirely imaginary 01 phone. And we'll be hearing our 2009 resolutions. Or rather, our resolutions for the big tech companies. We're looking at you, Sony and Apple. All that and anything else the broadcasting laws will allow. But first, let me introduce my co-host, not the lovely Ree Morgan or T3's Mr. Duncan Bell, but instead the equally fantabulous Chris Smith and Joe Swetlick, everybody.
Yay for us.
Hello.
Chris, no stranger to the podcast as chief producer and video star, of course. Joe, who are you?
I am the news editor online, in the magazine. I also work stuff online as well for T3.com. And this is my debut, so...
It is.
Breaking me in, basically.
Yes, yeah, so to speak. Thank you for that image, Joe. No Duncan today, so no rant. And where are Ree and he, anyway?
Well, Duncan is off, anyway. He even came in on his day off to record this yesterday, so we can't deny him his day off today. But Ree, Ree has a cold.
She has a cold.
She went to lunch with Claridge's all afternoon yesterday, and she has a cold.
Right. Okay. Cold.
No, yes. I'm sure it's a very genuine illness. We wish her well.
Well, anyone else got any grumbles they want to, you know, air, get off their chest?
Well, I'm full of Christmas cheer today, but Mrs. Feather.
Well, there's only a few days of Christmas cheer left.
Well, I'm going home in 3 hours, so.
All right, good for you.
To my mummy.
Not much of a rant there. I have been using the new BlackBerry Curve 8900, and the trackball is completely rubbish. It won't move left, basically. So I just can't use
so
it, basically.
In right order to go left, perhaps you have to scroll really right and then go around the other side.
Yeah, maybe we should try that. Yeah, 360 degrees.
You cross like three time zones in the process.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I'm glad at least one of us has enough chagrin and bad Christmas season spirit to at least grumble about something.
I'm trying to fill Duncan's shoes. You know,
good. Okay, well, CES is just 6 days away. And unless you've waited till after Friday to download us, in which case you'll have to do your own mathematical calculation and come up with some appropriate days to go figure. But either way, it's very close. So, Chris, this is, as ever, the highlight of the technology year. Are either of you two going to Las Vegas?
We are, yes.
We're both going.
Both of you?
Yeah. Yep.
Both of you. So let me get this straight. I'm the only person here not going to Las Vegas.
This is true, sadly so.
You know they had 8 inches of snow there over Christmas?
I was talking to a friend of mine in America yesterday, and she said she doesn't want to go anymore because it's snowing, and she's from Florida. She's like, sorry then, I won't see you there.
There you go. Well, yep, snow in the desert.
Last year I went, and it was raining for the first time in ages as well, so maybe so, bringing the bad weather to
so
Vegas.
So next year.
Christ only knows.
Yeah, God, right, okay. So what are you two looking forward to? What's going to be there that's going to tickle your fancy?
Boobies.
I see.
No, I'm just looking. It's my first one, so I'm really, really looking forward to the whole experience. Please, yeah. I guess I'm like 80% scared, 20% excited.
Scared.
It's going to be so scary, man. There's like so much work to do out there, and I'm just kind of like petrified that.
Joe, you're a seasoned pro. Hold his hand here. What's it going to be like?
I'm slightly more jaded, I'm afraid. I'm looking forward to seeing some massive TVs. They always pull out 130, 150 inch TVs.
Yeah.
That never gets tiring. aside from that, I don't know. Just you know, the kind of all the stuff we've rumored. Really, everyone's keeping very tight-lipped about it. So.
Well, this is it. T3.com has come up with some predictions. Let's see what you make of these. Palm Nova. Always thrilling to hear something from Palm.
Yeah, they've kind of been off the radar for a while. It's kind of one of those smartphones that just kind of is completely forgettable. Basically, everything they've ever done has kind of been.
Sadly, I mean, they were great, weren't they? I mean, I've still got a mate who uses the really old Palms, you know, and they're awesome for what, you know, of their time. They were brilliant, and then they've died a death, really, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I didn't know they were still releasing phones.
Yeah, and when we talk of sort of last chances for things like Motorola, but I mean, this has got to be the last roll of the dice for Palm. I think they've already said they've got about 5 months of money left or something like that.
Jeez.
So this is it. But Palm Nova, this is going to be their first new OS. I mean, they've been releasing lots of Windows Mobile stuff and getting along with the old Garnet OS. But this is finally a new Palm OS. Do we really need another format? We've got Android, iPhone, Windows Mobile.
I think it's a little kind of naive to assume everyone's going to go over and use their OS rather than these other ones that are kind of tried and tested. And, you know, they're not Apple. I don't think they can.
But there's still, there's always that misty-eyed fondness. You know, I had a Palm. They were great.
You're older than me, man.
Okay. They've sent out invites asking people to come see their newness.
Sure, it wasn't.
Is that really drawing you to the Palm stand?
Well, they phoned me up the other day and asked if I was going to come. I was like, "Oh, God, are you guys still going? That's they amazing."
Mm. I think I got an invite as well, but we just ignored it.
Well, they're talking about obviously the new OS, but several new handsets as well, which is intriguing.
Where they get? No wonder they've got no money left.
I think the vague idea is that they want to fill the gap between the iPhone, which is a fun toy, and the BlackBerry, which is a serious business tool. I think the Storm's kind of already done that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, most of the BlackBerries are kind of very consumer friendly now.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
watch video on them and all sorts. So I don't think
and iPhone's trying to go the other way and be all enterprise and
good
whatnot.
Screens, touch screens.
Okay, well we'll see what they produce. Sony Walkman. It's a bit of a buzz about this.
It does sound really exciting, this, doesn't it? Sounds like it could be a bit of a hit if it does happen.
So 3-inch touchscreen, nothing new there, but it'll be a low power, high contrast OLED screen.
That is cool.
That's pretty exciting. I mean, you know, that's iPod Touch has kind of the screen has just been the really cool thing about it, you know, since it launched, really. So, yeah, if they can kind of tackle them head on, that'd be, that'd be definitely worth checking out.
Right? And they're talking about things like hooking up to the Amazon MP3 store, you know, so this could really be a bit of a challenge for Apple Touch. I mean, if they come up with some games, that'd be even better.
Yeah, totally. It's like of the rumors that we've got here, this is definitely the most exciting, I think.
Mm.
And a definite contender to Apple and iTunes.
Okay, well, speaking of OLED, Sony really pulled a blinder with the their first OLED TV not that long ago now. We can now buy the 11-inch one, the XEL one, if you've got, $3,000 spare.
Bargain, yeah.
We've already seen a 27-inch one. Apparently a 40-inch one might be on the way, which starts to make it lounge-sized.
Yeah, well, that's when it actually gets kind of interesting. At the moment, 11 inches, obviously, is kind of pointless. It's purely to show off what they can do, I think.
Yeah.
I think Samsung as well, rumoured to be just kind of showing off a 50-inch, maybe.
So a bit
of
competition, which hopefully bring prices down.
Yeah, well...
to somewhere near affordable.
Well, it's paying $3,000 for 11 inches.
They do look awesome, these things, though. They're, what, 3 millimetres thick, the XEL one, if you discount the huge base.
Yeah, well, I'd take 11 inches if it was 3 millimeters thick. But this OLED thing, like, it's a bit nuts, because before it was even released over here, they won Innovation of the Year in the T3 Awards a couple of months ago. So once they start sizing up a little bit, look out, world.
It's kind of the most exciting thing to TV since high def, I think, really. It's, actual new kind of technologies to make it all a hell of a lot better. So... So, yeah, we'll be investigating that when we're over there.
Awesome. And, well, this one's a bit of a perennial rumour, really. Zune Foam. This time, though, it's sort of less an actual Microsoft phone that's going to come out, and more some Zune software for Windows Mobile, which isn't that exciting, I don't suppose, but it's some sort of Zune-y phone. Nonetheless,
I suppose. I mean, considering they're still yet to launch it over here, it's kind
of the point, isn't it?
It's kind of just massively out of date.
It would be bizarre if the first we got of the Zune was actually software for Windows Mobile.
Yeah, it's Microsoft as well. So
why haven't they launched that over here?
I don't really know, to be honest.
What's stopping them?
Apple. In a word.
Yes, that's a small obstacle. Now, no re, so no gadget of the week from her. Alcohol has a lot to answer for, I think. Chris, though, you have an app of the week.
I do. Well,
given that you're locked in app battle with re at the moment.
Absolutely. Well, we've just started a new feature on the website called the App Off, where we'll be Re's got a G1 and I've got an Apple iPod Touch. So every week we'll be comparing the apps on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just done a music apps one for Christmas, which was great.
Yep.
And one of the ones that I wanted to involve in that, but I didn't get the chance, is this really, really cool cowbell app. Now, this might take me a couple of minutes to get working because this bloody iPod dock is really hard. But hold on, let me see if this works.
Okay, impress me.
Here we go. Okay, Guns N' Roses. Right.
Yep.
You'll remember the Saturday Night Live sketch, More Cowbell, with Christopher Walken.
Okay.
Right. Well, this rules. It allows you to play cowbell over any song that you like here. It's called More Cowbell. Listen to Walken here. Can't really hear him, but he's got to have more cowbell.
I'm hearing cowbell. Oh, awesome! So hold on, you are tapping the screen. You are tapping a representation of a large cowbell on the screen and is making a cowbell noise.
Yeah, and you can even alter the pitch of the cowbell. So check this out, man. Hold on, stupid touch. Weren't we just praising the touch screen?
So
here we go.
Here we're going higher pitch. Nice. Low pitch now, perhaps?
All right, one more go.
Change in this heart of mine.
It does improve any song, you have to say.
It does.
Cowbells, okay. Surely there should have been a Christmas version for this where you could have added sleigh bells, which, of course, is the way to make any song.
I think we should get a more
gotta have more sleigh bells, baby.
Oh, here we go,
more
low.
Duncan Bell.
Nice. Oh, that's got a real bassy.
Right, that's enough of that.
Finn. And kill them.
Buy guns. Okay, that's enough Axel for 1 year.
I'm loving it. So,
great.
So tap away, add some cowbell nonsense to any music.
I've been doing it on the tube. I've resolved to kind of like mimicking Will Ferrell's little dance from that thing and just like going up to random people, poking my belly in their face and stuff. Well, playing cowbell on the open top. It's so addictive, though. It's ridiculous.
Do you think that's what Apple had in mind when they spent all these millions of dollars developing these amazing touchscreens?
I think it was worth the money.
People using it for cowbell.
There we go. Now, T3 may be magazine perfection, but all around us, we look about and see imperfection. Ugly people, rubbish cars, and canteen food that belongs in a prison. So every now and then, we like to do our bit to spread our perfectness, and that's exactly what T3 has done with the O1 phone. Chris, for those who don't know, what is the O1 phone?
Well, the O1 phone was the brainchild of a T3 editorial meeting when we were kind of sitting around and discussing, you know, what would the perfect phone be? What elements will we take from each phone to add up to create the perfect handset? So, right. You know, there's phones with great touchscreens like the iPhone out there, and then, you know, everything else, the good cameras on the Sony Ericsson, stuff like that. And then we were thinking, you know, what's stopping the big companies out there making this phone?
Actually putting it all together.
Yeah, exactly. All the technologies out there to do it, and, you know, what's stopping them doing it? So we got in touch with a company called the Alloy.
Yep.
Who decided that, you know, they were going to mock one up for us, and it's all kind of gone from there, really. It's kicked off really well.
So we've now got a kind of a graphical representation of what the O1 phone would be, and it started off with things like a laser keyboard, a laser projection keyboard, all this sort of stuff. Had a bit of feedback, and it's now been tweaked. So gone is the laser projection keyboard, replaced with a fully customizable contextual keyboard with rubberized film.
Ooh.
Sounds almost sexual.
It does, yes, yes. This, actually, I rather like. This looks pretty cool. It's, you know, your standard slide-out keyboard, but underneath is essentially, I guess, a screen covered with rubbery shaped see-through keys. So you get the feel of a keyboard, but it can change into anything you like.
We are approaching like Minority Report territory with this phone, I think.
I think that's really cool, the fact, you know, all the keys, the icons change depending on which app you're in, which, if you're using it for music, it'll have play and pause and things like that. I think that's really cool, you know,
considering kind of who's the dude who was it Art, what's his name, who basically came up with that ridiculous keyboard that cost
something like that.
Him, which costs a fortune, and each key was an OLED screen. And, you know, basically we've cracked this. You know,
by cracked, you mean copied.
Well, no, because he went with this ultra expensive option of an individual screen for each key. We went, I'll tell you what, let's have a touch screen and put some rubber over it. Perfect.
It's what we do.
It's a winner.
Yeah, no, it's great. I think it looks awesome. And the renders are on t3.com as well, aren't they? You can
absolutely
see them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Hop online, have a look at them. The keyboard I do like. Some other innovations. Pop out mini phone and pop out earphones. Okay, the headphones click into place in the back of the phone. And there's a flexible mini phone, which apparently you can strap around your wrist or keep in your pocket. So you pop that out. The main phone goes in your briefcase or whatever, and you've got your mini phone. Great, but they're just not going to survive. My headphones are going to pop out and never pop back in. One, you know. And this flexible little mini phone. Okay, it's about the size of a packet of chewing gum. How is that going to go around your wrist? How tiny are these designers' wrists?
I'm sure there's going to be some cool accessorizing going with it. Right? Attach it to your charm bracelet or something like that.
I do like the idea, but yeah, anything detachable always fills me with dread on gadgets.
I suppose it's a cool idea though. I mean, not the Prada phone, the other designer one, the Dior phone kind of uses a similar thing, doesn't it? All this technology kind of exists everywhere else, but we're
bringing it together. Yeah,
And the idea is, I suppose, keep your main phone in your jacket or bag, or whatever, and then you can kind of use the smaller one for the basic functions like texting or just calling or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a good idea. I think I've never used it, but
well,
it sounds great.
It doesn't exist in the real world, unfortunately. But as you say, it's been designed by the Alloy. Now, going through the stages of whipping something very special and real up in their workshops. So I'm rather intrigued by this. I'm quite looking forward to what we might actually see. I'm not sure the actual O1 phone is going to roll out the shutters of the Alloy, but we might see some little bits of tech.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, you wouldn't be surprised what we see in 2001 when it comes to the O1 phone. Let's just put
2009
it that way for now.
Even.
2009. 2001 and the O9 phone.
We're also working on a time machine.
Great Scott.
Good. Well, you can join the campaign to get this thing actually made. Head on over to the O1phone.com. That's 01phone.com. And you can let us know what you think of it or what you'd like to see in it by calling our rant line on 0207 042 4848. 48. That's 0207 042 4848. We'll get some of your messages on the podcast hopefully next week. Well, it is the new year, and that means it's time to make resolutions. Rather than giving up smoking again, we thought we'd come up with some resolutions for gadget kind. So what do we want technology to do in 2009, Chris?
Well, for me personally, I write a Blu-ray column for the website every week, and I'd love Blu-ray to properly take off in 2009. I'd love it to become like the medium.
I have to say, I've just invested.
Have you?
I have.
Good man.
I got a stunning deal, £150 for Sony's Blu-ray player with six Blu-rays.
Bloody hell! That's Toshiba would do in that kind of thing.
Is
last
it Rocky
year.
1 through 6?
No. I should say five Blu-rays, not wonky ones. I've getting Casino Royale, Batman. Hancock, Mamma Mia, and Wally.
That's like some primo titles.
That's wow. Four of the of the best.
I watched Hancock last night, not last night, the night before, and really kicked ass. I thought it was like a really fun movie.
I did actually think it was. I saw the trailers and thought, but everyone I've spoken to has actually seen it, has raved about it. So I'm quite looking forward to popping that into my.
Well, you know what? Like, if trendsetter Dan Morsley has adapted to Blu-ray, then we've got nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
Blu-ray will take off in 2009.
Where was this fantastic deal? Is this
that was on Amazon. They're giving away. Amazon. They're giving away three of the Blu-rays, and Sony, up until very early this month, I can't quite remember the cutoff date, are giving away Casino Royale and Batman. With awesome. Blu-ray players.
There that's good.
Check that out.
But those deals, like, that's the type of thing that Toshiba were offering this time last year when they were in, like, a world of trouble.
Exactly, yeah. It's getting to that stage. Although, I was speaking to our friends at Home Cinema Choice, and they're talking about prices for this sort of get going up. In 2009, on the back of the pound, you know, spiralling and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, maybe now is the time to get bargains.
Do it.
Okay. All right, so you want to see Blu-ray take off a bit more. Anything from you, Joe?
Well, kind of similar vein, really. HD, I suppose. Things like FreeSat, just rolling out more channels, more actual content there. iPlayer, I think there was an interview with the guy recently who started the iPlayer saying he wanted to go to HD. With
absolutely,
it as well.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, you know, it's all there.
That is the key this year. I think we've all bought these HD tellies now. Yeah. Right now, I've got Virgin, so all I can watch is BBC HD channel, which is fine, but, you know, if I don't want to watch Little Dorrit, then I'm a bit screwed. So, yes, please, more HD channels this year. An HD iPlayer would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great. Fantastic.
Apple, their iPhone 3G, a couple of little things missing off it.
Yeah,
perhaps like to see this year.
Bit of MMS.
Wouldn't be that hard. Yeah, whack MMS on there. Perhaps take video.
Yeah,
can't be that hard.
Decent camera, maybe as well.
Yeah. If we could get a new version, absolutely. The cameras are shocking on it. I mean, this is well, going back to the O1 phone. That's the whole reason we had to do it because. Yeah, the iPhone, nearly perfect. Rubbish camera.
Yeah.
What's that about?
What is that about?
Something so basic to get wrong as well. Everyone else nailed it, and everyone uses them so much as well. I mean,
the PS3, we've been beaten on this so much this year.
We have.
I feel a bit bad for it, actually, because it is an awesome piece of hardware, really. It's got some good things about it, but it's still too expensive.
It's massive. It's a hulking beast of
it kit. Is also like, rather
take
large.
It anywhere, it's just so heavy. I mean the console itself is great, it's just the games haven't been you know, anything to write home about at all.
But a price cut would be a big help. Well, like, considering you can get a £99 Xbox over Christmas.
I know, and you were saying the other day that like a year ago that it was great to buy a PS3 because of the Blu-ray player, but yeah, now you just got one for 6 Blu-rays for £150.
Yeah.
Like, why do you buy the PS3? No,
it's not that great a selling point anymore, is it?
Yeah, exactly. No. Buy a Blu-ray player really. And an Xbox 360 and you're laughing, aren't you?
Yeah, blatantly.
Netbooks. Okay. Been pretty big this year. I've got one myself right in front of me here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mention it most weeks. But the thing is, they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Okay, one netbook is very much similar to another, the same kind of hardware. Okay, there's a bit of window dressing around the corners, and that is down to Microsoft, really, because they placed all the restrictions on netbooks. You know, you can't have more than 1 gig of RAM, you can't have over 160 gigabyte hard drive, it's got to be up to, you can only go up to 1.6 gigahertz with the processor, all this sort of thing. Isn't it time for the manufacturers to go, you know what, screw that, let's get a decent Linux version and bring out a decent netbook? Dual core Atoms, they're there, you know.
They'd just become like micro laptops, then, wouldn't they? Or they'd be as like smaller versions of laptops.
But you could make it so cheap with Linux.
Yeah, I guess so.
You could for £300 you can make an awesome Linux laptop.
I suppose. I think, you know, the whole selling point is they're all so basic, so simple, so stripped down. I mean, you know, you kind of know what you're getting, really. It's kind of a second laptop almost, isn't it, really? You know, I'm quite happy to see them kind of stay as they are, to be honest, because I wouldn't like it to be too nice. You know, you kind of just take it out to trade shows, kick it about a bit, and, you know.
That's true. They are going to get slightly more powerful. Microsoft's up the processor limit to 1.87 gigahertz, which will come in when their new single core Atom comes out. So that's, yeah. Anything else? 2009?
The Sony Reader, I always talk about this. I know everyone I know is bored to death of it, but just the books on, you know, the kind of availability of
they've teamed up with Waterstones, haven't they?
They're just so expensive for downloading what is essentially a PDF.
And yeah.
You're paying £14 for a new release. It's just, you know,
which is generally, especially when books are, you know, bargains.
That's
moment.
It.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you kind of pick them up secondhand really cheap. You know, it's a great bit of kit, but they just need to improve the actual kind of availability of the content.
I think it always isn't, though. Early adopters are always get hammered on these things.
Yeah, that's the.
So if we get the Kindle over here, we'll have the Sony book. Bit of competition.
Yeah,
it'd be great to bring it over. I mean, just the price needs to come down. But, you know, I haven't used the Kindle, but the Reader itself, I love it.
Yeah. Okay, deal with it, Waterstones.
One prediction that I'd really like to see before 2009 is out is Apple kind of respond in the music downloading price war and drop their prices and sack off DRM.
Yeah, absolutely. DRM needs to go, definitely. I'm with you on that. We can start a campaign, maybe.
Let's do it, man.
Something for another week, I feel. Well, only time before the lunch bell rings for our pointless press release of the week. I do like this one this week. Chris, do you want to explain what's going on here?
Well, yes, I can do. Well, it's Christmas. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Sega sent us out a little gift in relation to the Football Manager 2009 game, which is I've wasted away many years on. And they sent us this cool spray, which is called the Scent of Success. Now, look. It smells like sweat.
That does actually smell of sweat.
I can feel the podcast being more successful good. Already.
Oh, that's really just hit the back of my throat, actually.
Another blast?
Oh, no, that's enough. What I like about this is that Sega have sent out this press release. A bespoke new fragrance, Scent of Success, has been sent out as a festive gift to help even the poorest performing football team get to the winning frame of mind and all this lot. And they're thinking, hey, their PR team, I can see this. They're thinking, we are being so innovative here. The press are going to love this. Instead, at exactly the same time, Burger King were coming out with their scent of meat, which has gone all around the world, Telegraph front page, all the works.
Yep.
And no one's talking about the scent of success.
And all we've got is a smelly, stinky, sweaty.
A smelly, stinky, sweaty. When all we want is to lather ourselves in burger fat.
Oh, yummy.
It's kind of ironic if it's not very successful, though.
Yeah.
It's a scent of not success.
It's a scent of unsuccessfulness. Good. Well, that really is it. Join us next week when we'll be parking our sat truck outside CES to bring you Chris live from Las Vegas, technology permitting. And we'll look ahead to a Macworld without a Steve Jobs keynote. Remember, t3.com for all the latest. Till Friday, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.
Happy New Year.